Isaiah, the 49th chapter, verse 13. Isaiah 49 and 13 beginning. I'm ready for a great camp meeting, aren't you? I know y'all been praying and we've been praying, and I'm ready. I'm ready and I know God's ready. All right. Isaiah 49 13 says, sing, O heavens, be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains. For the Lord hath comforted his people, and will have mercy upon his afflicted. But Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgot me. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. We want to look at that verse number 15 for just a little bit for a text. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. This verse shows the love which God has for his people, amen, is stronger than that which is produced by the tenderness ties created by natural relations. God's memory cannot be compared to the strongest of human minds and their love. Does God remember you and I? That's the message this morning. Even though it may look like God doesn't care a thing about you, even though, amen, you don't find God or you don't see God in anything, and things may look dark, they may look gloomy, and like no one cares whether you live or die, amen. And there are times when it may look like God is far off and forgotten you altogether. But listen to Job 23 and verse number 8. He went through this. Job was in the midst of affliction. And this is what is written. Behold, I go forward, he's not there. Backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. He said, behold, I go forward. The meaning of these verses is, I go in all directions, but I cannot find God, and I cannot bring my cause to his throne. What's Job saying? Job expresses his sincere desire to see some visible signs that God is there. He turned to everything that he knew that would give him audience with God, but no avail. And he says he sought this in vain. Job is saying, I don't know where God is, but he knows where I am, and he knows what I will do. I'm going to stay trusting, obeying, and on the right path. But God, we know God does care and hasn't forgotten us. Although you may feel that way, he still got us in mind. 1 Peter, 5th chapter, just a simple verse, not a long verse, says this, casting all your care upon him. Why? For he careth for you. Amen. God is real close to us. God is real close to us. Although you're not aware of God's goodness and God's presence, he's real close to us. The Bible lets us know in Jeremiah, the 29th chapter, verse number 13, you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. There's an enemy of souls, amen, today, that is very active, trying to convince ones that God doesn't care. Amen. Now, we know that that's a lie, because God does care, and God hasn't forgotten you. He remembers you. He remembers me. And if you once served God, he remembers you like it was yesterday. And you've never served God. He knows who you are. God knows everything about you. How much does God know about you? Let me read it. Matthew, the 10th chapter, verse 29. The writer says this. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father, but the very hairs of your head, think of that, are all numbered. Now, you don't know the count, but God knows the count. And every time you sisters or brothers comb your hair and hairs come out, God's got track. Just how many you've got left. Amen. Look at the scripture found in 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, verse number 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that today is that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Otherwise, it don't make any difference how you figure it. 1,000 years, amen, is just like one day to God. The objection was that much time, and perhaps the time which had been supposed to be set for his coming, amen, they're dealing with, had passed away. And still all things remained as they were. There were scoffers in that day, saying, where is the promise? Where is the promise of his coming? All things are just like they were since creation. Amen. Now the reply of the apostle is that no argument could be drawn from this, for that which may seem to be a long time to us is just a brief period to God. God does not have memory loss. God's not affected with Alzheimer's. He don't get dementia. Amen. Turn with me to 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter. 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter. Let's look at God's memory. Verse 1. Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Excuse me. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, oxen, sheep, camel, and ass. God said in this text, I remember. I remember. The Amalekites were a people who occupied a tract of country on the frontiers of Egypt and also Palestine. They had acted very cruelly toward the Israelites when they were coming out of Egypt. Let's go back and read a little bit of it. Deuteronomy, the 25th chapter. The book of Deuteronomy 25, verse number 17 says this. Remember what Amalek did unto thee by the way, when you were come forth out of Egypt, how he met thee by the way and smote the hindmost of thee, even all that were feeble behind thee, when thou wast faint and weary, and he feared not God. Otherwise, Amalek attacked the back part. Amen. It is those that were lagging behind, those that were maybe sickly, those that were tired, those that maybe they were elderly, they couldn't keep up. Well, he had no mercy. So he attacked, when he said, the hindermost part of, amen, the Israelites. Therefore it shall be, when the Lord thy God hath given thee rest from thy enemies round about, in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, possess it. That thou shalt blot out the remembrance of Amalek, that thou shalt blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven, thou shalt not forget it. They came upon Israel, I say, Israel now was faint, and they were weary. Amen. And God then purposed that Amalek as a nation would be blotted out from under heaven. Amen. And that purpose was fulfilled by Saul 400 years later. 400 years later. You talk about a memory. God said, I'm going to just wipe them out as a nation. 400 years later, that happened under Saul. Maybe you thought that God doesn't care about your condition or whether you lived or died, but that's not true. God's promises are true. You can rest on the fact that God will back up all that he's promised. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 20. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. What God has promised, he's able to perform. We want to look at an example in the Word of God. Does God remember you? King David was a type of Jesus Christ. I believe everybody agree with that. He was king, he was priest. Amen. And he was a type of Jesus Christ. And you can read in the Word of God where there was a great bond of love between Jonathan, King Saul's son, and King David. They made an agreement, a covenant between them. Jonathan knew that the throne of the kingdom was going to belong to David. And when he recognized it, he made a covenant with David. 1 Samuel, the 20th chapter. Let's read that covenant. 1 Samuel, the 20th chapter, beginning at verse number 14. Listen to this conversation. And thou shalt not only, while yet I live, show me the kindness of the Lord, that I die not, but also thou shalt not cut off thy kindness from my house forever. No, not when the Lord hath cut off the enemies of David, every one from the face of the earth. Well, what's Jonathan saying? Jonathan wanted David to remember his family while he was alive and even after he'd gone. If David took over king and all, amen, all his enemies were taken care of, and he knew that included, amen, his family, the house of Saul. He said, please remember us, even, amen, while we're alive, and also after I'm even gone. Well, Jonathan wanted David, amen, to remember all that. And so Saul and his sons were killed. They were killed in battle with the Philistines. Now, Jonathan had a son whose name was Mephibosheth. And he was lame from a child of 5 years old. When news had come that the house of Saul looked hopeless, Jonathan was dead. Amen. So a nurse, and she was despairing for her life, she began to take off. She began to run. And 2 Samuel, the 4th chapter, says it this way, beginning at verse number 4. And Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame of his feet. He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel. And his nurse took him up and fled. It came to pass as she made haste to flee that he fell and became lame. And his name was Mephibosheth. She lifted up Mephibosheth into her arms and fled. But as she fled, amen, running and no doubt not watching what she's doing altogether, she dropped him, and he become lame at his feet. Otherwise, he could not walk. David, being a type of Jesus Christ, did not forget his covenant with Jonathan. 2 Samuel, the 9th chapter, says this. 2 Samuel, the 9th chapter, verse number 1, beginning. And David said, "Is there any left in the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? Otherwise, we had a covenant. Is there anybody left in that family? Anybody at all?" And there was in the house of Saul's servant, whose name was Ziba. And when they called him unto David, the king said unto him, "Art thou Ziba?" And he said, "Thy servant is he." And the king said, "Is there not any of the house of Saul, that I may show the kindness of God unto him?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan had yet a son, which is lame, otherwise he can't walk. He's lame on his feet." And the king said unto him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Behold, he's in the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, in Lodabar." Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, from Lodabar. And when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was coming to David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, "Mephibosheth?" And he answered, "Behold, thy servant." And David said unto him, "Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." And he bowed himself and said, "What is thy servant, that thou should look on such a dead dog as I am?" Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, said unto him, "I have given unto my master's son all that pertained to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits. Thy master's son may have food to eat, but Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread always at my table." Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, "According to the law that my lord the king had commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth," said the king, "he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons." And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Michah, and all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants under Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table, and was lame on both his feet. A man in a hopeless condition, without anything really to live for, and expecting to be sentenced to death by the king. It was customary that all the family of a defeated ruler would die, every one of his offsprings. But here was a man who received mercy instead of judgment. He received kindness instead of rebuke. A man expecting the worst, receiving the best. Now, when we look at some thoughts concerning the remembrance of David and liken it to how the Lord remembers you and I. As I read those scriptures, keep in mind, it was David who sought out Mephibosheth. It was David who sent for Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth came and bowed before the king. Everything that Mephibosheth needed, the king had in abundance. And he also brought Mephibosheth to Jerusalem and there fed him at the table of the king. What a type. What a type of how the Lord worked with you and I. That took place in the literal. But ours took place in the spiritual. It was the Holy Spirit that went out looking for you and I, that found you and I. Amen. John, the 6th chapter, Verse number 44 says this, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I raise him up at the last day. And every one of us were in a worthless condition. We were lame, maybe not in our feet, but in our soul. We were worthless, not fit to live, and not ready to die. Ephesians, the second chapter, verse number 1. Paul writes this to the Ephesians. Amen. And you hath he quickened or made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. We were dead unto God spiritually. Lived like the world. Walked in sin. Following the deceit of the devil. We were considered a child of disobedience. We came in humility, confessing our sins, feeling undeserving of such kindness. Job said in the 22nd chapter of the book of Job, in verse number 29, amen, he says this, when men are cast down, then thou shalt say, there is a lifting up, and shall save the humble person. You cannot, no matter how much you try, to get anywhere with God if there's pride in your heart. While Mephibosheth come before David, he expected the worst. And he humbled himself, amen, expecting the worst. Why? Because he felt worthless. Felt like he wasn't even worth living. Amen. He wasn't even worth, amen, going on with life. Why? He had to be waited on. No matter what he did, he had to be waited on. Amen. It's amazing. I see the ones walking around on this earth filled with pride. James, the 4th chapter, verse number 6 says, he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, he giveth grace unto the humble. God opposes the proud, but gives strength to those that are humble. Proverbs 29, verse 23 says this. Proverbs 29, 23 says, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. What else happened when we come to the Lord? What happened to Mephibosheth when he finally came to David? Well, when we came to him, he was all we needed to get out of sin. We thought we needed something else, but that which we needed, he supplied. What did David do for Mephibosheth? Had the, amen, Ziba's sons till the land, raise the crops, take care of everything for him. Amen. Ephesians 3 and 20 says, now unto him that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. His ability is immeasurable when we talk about God. David had all that Mephibosheth needed to survive this life. Jesus bids us to come to the supper. He says, all things are ready. I have everything you need to take care of you. Matthew 22 and 4 says, again he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I prepare my dinner. My oxen, my fatlings are killed. All things are ready. Come unto the marriage. Speaking of the Good Samaritan, Jesus said this, in Luke the 10th chapter, verse number 35, listen to what Luke writes. On the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I'll repay thee. 2 pence is a very small amount, but it doesn't take much for God to take care of you and I. The Word and the Spirit can handle every one of us. He cleaned every one of us up. That's the first thing God does, is clean you up. Colossians, the 6th chapter, verse number 9. 1 Corinthians, 6 and 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. 1 Corinthians 6 and 9. Amen. Here Paul is writing, amen, to a people, a congregation, amen, that was in pretty bad shape, amen, in vile sin, and how God washed them and cleaned them up. Amen. And Paul lets you know in 1 Corinthians 3 and 10 that he was a wise master builder and raised up a congregation out of people that were considered worthless by most. Made it possible. God made it possible where we don't have to sin anymore. Mephibosheth was brought to Jerusalem. What's that? A type of the church. The Good Samaritan was brought to the inn. God never joins his people to some man-made organization, but rather the Spirit of God baptizes you into the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12, 13, very familiar. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into the one Spirit. Mephibosheth was brought to the house of the king, and the king was at Jerusalem. Psalm 135, verse 21 says this: Blessed be the Lord out of Zion, which dwelleth at Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord. He sat at the king's table, and his servants planted his field and took good care of it. We also have several gifts in the kingdom of God that take care of our needs also. God gives us his Holy Spirit. And with the Holy Spirit, amen, we get the whole package. Galatians chapter number 5 says this: The fruit of the Spirit is love. God gives you more love. He gives you joy. He gives you peace. He gives you long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. God gives you all that when he gives you his Holy Spirit. Does God remember you? Has he forgot about you? No, dear ones, he hasn't. He remembered the woman at the well. He remembered Zacchaeus up the tree. He remembered the thief on the cross. And he has remembered a lot of people here this morning. The devil would like to make you think that God has forgot you. But don't believe him. Jesus tells us all about the devil. He lets us know that the devil is a liar. Now, he's never got converted. He's never got changed. He's a liar from the beginning. And he's still lying yet today. He's a liar and the father of it. And if you're here this morning and have trouble with lying you know who your father is. Did David forget his covenant with Jonathan? Well, our text says this. A mother has more of a chance forgetting her little baby than the Lord doth and forgetting you and me. Now, you know there's a strong bond between a mother and their child. Yet there's a stronger bond between God and all mankind. Does God remember us this morning? Yes. He remembers us. You know, he knows everything about you. Everything about you. He knows what you did before you come to service this morning. He knows how well you slept last night. He knows how late you was up last night. It's amazing. God knows that about every single individual on this earth. Somebody said, how could somebody, amen, know all that? You got to remember, he's God. Don't try to bring him down to a human level. He's God Almighty. And he's omniscient. He's everywhere. Amen. We just bring the message to a close this morning. And if you're here and you have the feeling that God has forgot you, amen, be encouraged. God hasn't forgot you. God remembers you. And not only remembers you, he wants the best for you. He wants to give you, amen, the best that he's got. Amen, and he's willing to do that. If you just like me, like Mephibosheth, and humble yourself before him this morning.